And as we think about parenting, and in particular, we think about being a kid under the authority of parents, I'd like to quote a popular poet from my childhood. He says this. He says, "So to all you kids across the land, there's no need to argue. Parents just don't understand." Will Smith sang that song to us, accompanied by DJ Jazzy Jeff in the early 90s. I think that that's probably a universal thought among kids. So my guess is if you took kids from 500 years ago, they would express that same thought oftentimes, right? Man, my parents just don't understand. They have these rules. They have these certain limits. They don't know what it's like to be me. They don't remember what it was like to be a kid. They don't understand anything. But there's been an interesting change in our culture over the past 50 years, because I think that was typical. But recently, there's something new that's happening, because kids have probably always thought that their parents didn't understand. But in the past, at least other adults were telling kids, no, your parents do understand. Well, in our culture, all of that has changed. So I don't know how many of you see Disney movies regularly or have seen Disney movies in the past. It's a staple with our kids. We watch Disney movies pretty regularly. But this is something that you see oftentimes in Disney movies. So if you think about The Little Mermaid, some of you may not have seen any of these movies, so just hang on out of love for the rest of us. You can read part of Exodus 20. That'll be encouraging for you while we talk about Disney movies. So think about The Little Mermaid. So Ariel, who's the girl in this movie, she wants to be on land. She wants to be a human, right? Her dad tells her that's a bad idea. She disobeys her dad. And then by the end of the movie, we all find out that she was right, her dad was wrong. And if she had listened to her parents, she would not be happy, right? So that's the Little Mermaid. Think about Aladdin. Same thing, right? So Jasmine's dad, there's this law in the kingdom. She's only supposed to marry a prince. She doesn't want to do that. She sort of casts off her dad's authority. By the end of the movie, she's done something different, and we see that, man, if she had listened to her dad, she would have been unhappy. Thankfully, she threw off his authority. Now she's happy. Same thing with the movie Brave, if you've seen that. This girl's parents, they have certain expectations for her. She casts those off. By the end of the movie, we see that her parents were wrong. She was right. She would have been unhappy if she had listened to her parents. The movie Moana, same thing. I never know if I say that right, but you guys probably know what I'm talking about. Same thing. So her dad tells her to stay on this island. She casts off his authority. She goes on her own. But by the end of the movie, we find out that she was right. Her dad was wrong. If she had listened to him, she would have ended up unhappy. Parents just don't understand, right? That's the theme we see in all of that. You know, The Little Mermaid came out, I don't know, I was 6 or 7. Moana came out this past year. There's been a theme, and it's not just Disney. This is in lots of movies. This is in our culture in general. And as far as we can tell, there's never been another culture where that's happened. There's never been another culture where the adults are telling kids that their parents don't know what they're talking about. This is the first one, which is an interesting thing. So for a much more serious and depressing example, think about the policy in a lot of public schools where there are certain sensitive topics that are important that kids will talk to guidance counselors about, talk to administrators about, and those guidance counselors don't bring the parents into that conversation. They keep the parents out of that conversation. That's nuts, by the way. Just so we're all on the same page. That's crazy. That's bonus. That wasn't even in the manuscript. That's crazy. So, our culture has largely rejected the fourth commandment. And everyone here knows it's hard to obey your parents anyway, right? We all have parents. We all remember what it was like to be young. It's hard to obey your parents. You guys that are still under your parents' authority, you know that, right? You know it more clearly than we probably even remember it. So it's hard anyway, but it's just going to be harder for kids in our culture, right? Because they're having to fight against these messages that from other adults that parents don't know what we're talking about. But praise God that we have his timeless word, right? To call us back to his expectations for the parent-child relationship. So hear the word of the Lord. This is Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Just one verse is what it says. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. I'll read it again. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Now, on the face of it, it's easy to think that this command only affects kids that are still living with their parents, kids that are still under the authority of their parents. But we'll see that part of this command, part of its purpose for Israel, was for them to take care of their aging parents, So in part, this command is applicable for adults that have aging parents that are still living. And even if you don't have living parents, this command still tells us something about the way we submit to any authority over us. So all that to say, this command affects everybody in this room. It's applicable to everybody. Well, first, let's look at where God puts this command among the Ten Commandments, because it looks like there's a reason why it's in the spot that it's in. Most folks recognize the Ten Commandments, they deal with two different types of relationships in this world. So the first several commandments deal with our relationship with God, the person's relationship with the Lord. The second half deal with our relationships with one another, your relationships with other people, with your family and your neighbors and folks that you know. Just like Jesus summed up the law as teaching love for God and love for neighbor, he probably got that from the Ten Commandments, the fact that it's broken up in those two parts. And it's significant that this command to honor parents, it leads off the section about how we're supposed to deal with one another. So it's all the commands about our relationship with God, and then he turns to talk about our relationships with one another, and the first thing he says is this command about honoring our parents. And that's because the family is the unit which all society is built on, right? Those are the relationships that are closest to us, the most important human relationships that we have, which is our immediate family. And among those relationships, the one that existed first was your relationship with your parents. So it's primary. That's why God deals with it here as soon as he turns to talk about our relationships with one another. So it leads off this section. Well, we'll start with a verb in this passage. So we're told to honor your father and mother. So the key right off the bat is to understand that word honor. You know, what does this word honor mean? And the Hebrew word, Old Testament was written in Hebrew. We're served really, really well. Our English translations are great. We have lots of good ones, so praise the Lord for that. But their translations, it was initially written in Hebrew. Well, the root word that honor is built off of, it's the same root word that the word glory is built off of. So we talked about this a couple weeks ago. That root word means heavy or weighty. That's where the Hebrew word honor comes from. So we could translate our verse this way. It could say, treat your parents in a way that recognizes their significance, their weight, right? The fact that they're important. That's what this word honor is getting at. And I mean, this part of this command really isn't rocket science, right? When you recognize that somebody's significant, when you're honoring somebody, a big part of that means that you obey them, that you do what they say. So this is the part of our command that's especially applicable to you if you're still under your parents' authority. So if you live with your folks, or maybe you're away at school, but they're still providing for you, if you're under their authority in that way, this is probably the main application of this verse and this command for you, is to obey your father and your mother. And this is the part of the command that's highlighted in the New Testament. So Ephesians 6, verse 1 says this. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. So children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. So the place to start in honoring your parents is by obeying them, right? It's by doing what they say. Now, there's a nuance here. It's the same nuance for any Christian submitting under any authority. You're supposed to do it unless that person is telling you to do something that the Lord has commanded against. So God's our ultimate authority, right? All other authority in this world is derivative. So if there's a lower authority under God that's trying to get you to disobey the Lord, well, we can't do it, right? Thankfully, we live in a country where usually that doesn't bring that many risks, although there's more than there were when I was growing up, and there will probably be more in the next couple of decades. Listen, we can't do anything about that. We have to obey the Lord, even if it means that the authorities under him are displeased with that. So that's the nuance. You never do anything your parents tell you to do if they're telling you to disobey the Lord. But the truth is, for the kids in this building right now, when your parents ask you to do something, they're not usually asking you to disobey the Lord, right? If there's something your parents ask you to do and you resist doing it, it's probably not out of obedience to the Lord. It's probably because you don't want to do that thing, right? Which we understand. Everybody in here was a kid at one point. We remember that. But in this command, God doesn't say obey your parents as long as you want to do the thing they're asking you to do. Or obey your parents as long as what they're saying makes sense to you. Because the truth is, there would be very little obedience, probably, right? If that's what the Lord had said here. He just says obey your parents. So if your parents tell you to finish your homework before you get to play video games, you have to finish your homework before you play video games. If they tell you not to do certain things when you're over at a friend's house, you got to do that, right? You can't do those things when you're over at that friend's house. If they tell you to be home at a certain time, you got to be home at that time. They tell you to clean your room. You need to clean your room. You can think of all sorts of examples. This is what Colossians 3:20 says. It says, "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord." And it's good to remember, and it's good for me to remember this with submitting to authority, but obedience doesn't just mean you eventually do it, right? So for you kids that are still at home, let's say that your mom asks you to clean your room and that you put it off and put it off and you sort of drag your feet and complain. And then that night, maybe 6 hours later, you end up cleaning your room. Don't think that you've obeyed perfectly, right? That's easy to do and to think, well, I did it. I ended up doing the thing. Obeying your parents, it doesn't just involve doing what they say. It involves doing it when they say to do it, right? Which is a harder thing, but that's part of obedience. But God is interested in more than just obeying your parents. And that's why the Lord doesn't use the word obey in the fourth commandment. He could have boiled it down to that. He could have just said, obey your parents. He uses a broader word than that. He uses the word honor, which includes the idea of obedience, but it means more than that. So listen to what God tells Israel in Isaiah chapter 1. He's talking to the nation of Israel, and he says this. He says, "What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices? I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. Bring no more vain offerings." So here's what was happening here. Israel was commanded to bring these certain sacrifices to the Lord, and that's what they were doing. But they weren't doing it out of love for God. They were just doing it to sort of check a box, just so they could say, yeah, we've done this thing that God has commanded us to do. But he knew that it wasn't coming from their heart, and so he wasn't interested in that kind of obedience. He calls it vain offerings. And so that's a good thing to understand as children. God isn't just looking for you to obey your parents. He's looking for you to obey your parents because you love and respect them, right? He's looking for obedience because they have your heart. So think about it this way. What if the next time your birthday rolled around, we just had Jude and Nora's birthday party yesterday. Praise the Lord, we had a joint party. I hope we can roll with that forever. It's pretty awesome. Think about if you're a kid and your birthday rolls around and your parents give you a present and they say this to you. They say, "Here's this present that we're obligated to give you because we're your parents. And because, you know, if we didn't give it, people at church would probably think we're bad parents and our neighbors. And, you know, we want to be sure that you continue to do what we ask you to do. So anyway, for all of those reasons, here's this present for you." Well, that wouldn't feel very good, right? Because you understand that their heart wouldn't be in it, that it's just them going through the motions. Well, that's what it looks like to the Lord when you maybe obey your parents technically, but you don't do it from your heart. God looks down at that, and that's not appealing to him. It shouldn't be appealing to us either. So we should obey because you love and respect your parents. So when you complain about what you're having to do, and I mean, I feel a bit hypocritical saying all of this, but it's the word of the Lord, right? It's not the word of Scott. So I'm supposed to preach it even when I was very bad at doing this. So just understand I was bad at doing this. I have repented, though. I've asked forgiveness from my parents, and they're very gracious. So praise the Lord for that. But when you complain about what you're having to do, when you roll your eyes, when they give you something to do and you say, "Oh, okay," right? That's not what the Lord is looking for. That's not obedience in the way that he's interested. That's not honoring. Honoring obedience comes from love and respect for your parents. And this is where the fourth commandment has something to tell us who aren't under parental authority, but we still have living parents. Because we're supposed to do the same thing with our parents. If your parents are alive, you're supposed to love and honor them. This is what we're told in 1 Timothy 5. Eric read this earlier. 1 Timothy 5:4, it's about widows. And this is what the Lord says. He says, "If a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God." So part of honoring your parents is making sure that they're taken care of as they get older. If you have living parents, this is your responsibility. This is something that we're told here. So the world oftentimes sees elderly family members as a burden. But listen again to the way that Paul talks about this. 1 Timothy 5:4, he says, he's talking about adults that are caring for their older parents. "Let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents." So the logic here, Paul's using a financial metaphor. So he's saying it's like you opened a business and somebody invested in that business early on. You wouldn't have been able to get it off the ground. They invested. Now your business is doing well. And so it's time to make a return on that investment. That's the type of metaphor that he's using here. Well, that's supposed to happen as our parents get older. So again, our culture sees the elderly as the burden oftentimes. But Paul's reminding us that our parents weren't the original burden. In your relationship with your parents, even if they're aging, they weren't the original burden. You were the original burden, right? I was the original burden. We were the ones that were infants and then toddlers. You guys remember what that's like to have infants and toddlers? That's a burden. Praise the Lord for it, but let's not lie. It's a burden. It's hard work, okay? And then, Nora is six, but you were the one that was in elementary school and then in middle school. And then a teenager, right? You guys know the burdens that come along with these things. This is what Paul's reminding us of. In your relationship with your parents, you were the original burden, right? So he says that we're supposed to make a return on that investment. And this is good for us to think about. Your parents invested more in you than you will have opportunity to pay back. That's just the way it is. So in the Lord's eyes, don't think that you're getting it stuck to you or that it's not fair by having to care in those ways for your parents as they get older. They invested far more in you, right? My parents invested far more in me than we'll have time to return back to them. So honor your parents. That's applicable for all of us that have living parents. So that's the command that we're given here. And I should have mentioned this. There's an outline on the back of the bulletin, if that's helpful for you now that we're halfway through. Anyway, so that's the command. That's the command that we see in the fourth commandment. And it's a command that God is really serious about. So in Mark chapter 7, Jesus has a run-in with the Pharisees, and he calls them out because they were trying to figure out loopholes to get out of obeying their parents and out of honoring their parents, out of taking care of them as they got older. And what Jesus tells them, he says, "You have made void the word of God." So he told the Pharisees, listen, by not caring for your aging parents, it's like you pulled out a Sharpie and you're just marking this part of the Bible out. You're marking out the fourth commandment, which obviously as adults we want to be sure not to do with our aging parents. So God's serious about this. Listen to what he says in 1 Timothy 5, verse 8. I didn't read this earlier. This is what he says. He says, "But if anyone does not provide for his relatives," so remember, this is in the context of caring for your mother, your older mother. "If anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." So Paul says, if you don't provide for your aging parents in that relationship, you're actually worse than a non-Christian. Sort of the most serious accusation that God can level. So he's really serious about this command. And for you kids that are still under your parents' authority, the New Testament tells you that if you're characterized by disobedience to your parents, that might be evidence that you're not a believer, that you're not really following Christ. So Paul talks about this in Romans 1. He's talking about this progression where non-believers reject God, and then God hands them over to their sin, and there's this progression of these horrible sins. Well, listen to the progression. This is in Romans chapter 1, verse 30. It says, he's talking about these people that have rejected God, and God hands them over to these sins. It says, they are slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents. So God considers disobedience to your parents as so serious that he says that a kid who is characterized by that, now all of us disobeyed our parents, right? And if you're a kid, you do this all the time. It's what Tim talked about as part of being a sinner, part of helping you realize how much you need the cross. So you're not going to be perfect. But if you're characterized by that, then God says that it's likely that you don't even know the Lord. It's a serious thing to think about. This is a serious command that the Lord takes very seriously. And so if you're under your parents' authority, I think what this shows is that's your primary human relationship that you need to be responsible for. So you might think that you're doing well with things because your relationship with your friends is great, and your relationship maybe with your friends' parents is great, or with extended family or whatever. But if your relationship with your parents is strained, if you're causing problem there, that's what you need to work on. You need to put everything else on the back burner, right? If you're under your parents' authority and figure out that relationship, because the Lord takes this so seriously. And that's why God tells Israel this in Exodus 21:17. Brace yourselves. "Whoever curses his father or his mother shall be put to death." So in Old Testament Israel, if somebody dishonored their parents by cursing them, that person died. So God is really serious about this command. So So why is that? Why is God so serious about this command? You know, our culture has kind of moved past this in a lot of ways. So why hasn't the Lord moved past this? Why does he think that it's a big deal? Well, here's the reason. God exercises authority over this world because he created it. It's his world. He's responsible for it. So he exercises authority over it. But God has chosen to exercise that authority through others, through certain human institutions that he set up. So think about it this way. It's like when somebody starts a restaurant, and so they build it, and they hire people, and they teach them how to make the food and how to do the service and all that. And then it's getting big, and so he decides, okay, I'm going to go and I'm going to branch out and franchise and have some other ones other places. So he hires a manager to manage that particular restaurant. Well, the owner is still in charge of it. But that manager underneath him is the one that's running stuff. Well, that's the way that God has chosen to govern the world. He sets up these different institutions to govern the world on his behalf. And that's what's happening with parenting. He does this with lots of different institutions. So he does it with human government. So the fact that we have elected officials and appointed officials that write laws, right, that take care of stuff in terms of towns and states and federally. Well, that's because God has put that in place. So this is what it says in Romans 13. It says, "The governing authority does not bear the sword in vain, for he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer." So the way that God has chosen to deal with lawbreaking in our world is by instituting human government, where he gives the sword punishment to those officials, and they can level that punishment on behalf of the Lord, even when they don't intend to do that, right? This doesn't mean that somebody in government has to be a Christian for this to be happening. No, God just instituted human government in a way that humans see is helpful. And so even as non-believers, when they're levying those punishments, they're a servant of the Lord, Romans 13 says, that God has appointed them to do that. This is the way that God governs his world. And so this is what it says in Romans 13, too. It says, "Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed." So to pull all this together, what it's saying is when you resist the authority God has set up in any capacity, not just parents, any authority God's set up, when you resist that, you're resisting God because he's the one that put it in place. And they are leading on behalf of him. They're exercising his authority. And it's the same when it comes to your parents. So this is probably part of what Paul meant in Ephesians 6 when he says, "Obey your parents in the Lord." So he's saying that when you obey your parents, you're also obeying God because he's the one that has set them up, that has put them in that position. So in God's eyes, you're supposed to obey your parents, not mainly because they're geniuses, not mainly because they're better than you or more virtuous than you, although, obviously, parents are further ahead, have lots to teach kids. It's part of the reason God set it up the way that he did. But those aren't the main reasons you're supposed to obey your parents. The main reason is because they are the ones that are accountable before the Lord for the way that your childhood goes, right? So it's not about competence. We've talked about this before. It's about accountability. Your parents are the ones that will stand before the Lord and give an account for your childhood. You won't have to do that. Your parents will. And so that's why in the New Testament, God's telling us to submit to certain authority that isn't even good necessarily. So in the book of 1 Peter, there's a lot of examples about this in 1 Peter. He talks about it with employees that have employers that are bad to them, that are bad folks, that mistreat them. But Peter doesn't say, yes, so you should buck that authority. He says, no, you should still submit to them, even when they're bad at it. He does that with Christian wives where their husband's a non-believer. And he says, hey, even though your husband doesn't love Jesus, even though your husband rejects the word of the Lord, you're still supposed to submit to him, right? Because he's the one that'll have to give an account for that family. And then in 1 Peter 2, he tells them to honor the emperor, who, when that was written, the emperor was Nero. And you can go home this afternoon and you can do some research about Nero. Nero was nuts, right? He was an evil guy. And yet, these Christians in the Roman Empire, God is still telling them, but you need to submit to his authority. As long as he's not asking you to disobey the Lord, he's set up underneath me. You need to submit to that authority. And it's the same with parents. They'll have to give an account for children, the way that they're raised. Flip over to Numbers chapter 30, if you've got your Bible open. Numbers 30, verse 3. This is interesting. It helps us understand a picture of this with parents and children, parents being accountable before the Lord. Numbers chapter 30. We'll look at verse 3 and following. This is what it says. It says, "If a woman vows a vow, so makes a promise. If a woman vows a vow to the Lord and binds herself by a pledge while within her father's house in her youth, and her father hears of her vow and her pledge by which she has bound herself, and he says nothing to her, then all her vows shall stand, and every pledge by which she has bound herself shall stand. But if her father opposes her on the day that he hears of it, no vow of hers, no pledge by which she has bound herself shall stand, and the Lord will forgive her because her father opposed her. So the picture here is that this young girl that's still under her parents' authority, she will make certain, she's a follower of the Lord. She'll make certain promises to God. She'll make certain vows. And so what it says is, if her dad doesn't oppose that, then she's on the hook for him, right? Because she's made that promise to the Lord. But the interesting thing is, if her dad puts a stop to it, so who knows what it could be, you know? And maybe some of your kids would, you know, who knows what they would do if they could pick. Maybe they would, you know, drop out of school and go join the circus. Who knows? And they would say, this is what I feel like I'm called to do by the Lord. And as your parents, you would say, I don't think that that's what you're called by the Lord to do. And while you're under my authority, that idea, which seems horrible to me, we're not going to do that. Well, what it says here is, and I'm sure that's a practical example, right? I'm sure that's going to happen in a lot of our families. But what it says here is that young person is off the hook in God's eyes for that, because their parents put a stop to it. So you know who's on the hook at that point? Those parents. Because when you are all standing before the Lord, you as children, us as parents, when you're standing before the Lord and giving an account for that family, guess who the Lord's going to look at? It's not going to be you first. It's going to be your parents first, because they're the ones that are responsible under the Lord for how you were cared for how you're growing up looked, for the way that they raised you. When God looks at you, all he's going to be interested in is, did you submit? Did you trust your parents? Did you obey them? That's important to understand. That's the main reason why you obey your parents, is because they are on the hook for that. They're the ones under God that are responsible for the way that you were raised. But as we close, this command, it doesn't just benefit God, and it doesn't just benefit your parents. Because like all of God's commands, the fourth commandment, it also benefits the child who obeys. And this is important for us as parents to remember. If our kids think that the main reason that we're trying to get them to obey is for our own benefit, if their instinct is to think that it's just because we want to boss them around or we want to make things easier for ourselves, we have failed as parents, right? We want our kids to know that the reason we want them to obey is for their sake and for the Lord's sake, that it's not a self-interest on our part, but it's us caring for them. This is what Paul points out in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. So there's this promise attached to the fourth commandment. And the promise is that if you obey your parents, he says that you'll live long in the land. Well, the land being talked about there in the initial context in Exodus 20, it's talking about the promised land. It's talking about where Israel is headed, right? The land of Canaan that eventually is going to become the city of Jerusalem. That was their initial context. That was the land. Kids, Israelite kids, if you obey your parents, you're going to live long in the promised land. But it's transformed for us. So that in Galatians 4 in the New Testament, the true promised land is called the Jerusalem that is above. So the Jerusalem that was below, that was a picture. That promised land that Israel was going into, it was a small picture of the future promised land, which is the new heavens and the new earth. That's where Jesus is going to take us as believers. And so that's the land which you'll live long in if you obey your parents. That's the promise that's here. And just so we're clear, this isn't talking about salvation by works, right? It's not like you can obey your parents perfectly and then that will get you into heaven. This isn't what it's talking about. But we have to remember the context this command was given in. The Ten Commandments are given to the nation of Israel. Those are people that are following the Lord. When Paul quotes it in Ephesians 6, he's talking to the church. He's talking to parents that are Christians. And so this promise is being given to the children of Christian parents. And so if you're a kid, it's probably why you're here this morning. You're here because your parents are pursuing Jesus. That's why you're here. And so it's not that you'll get into heaven if you obey your parents' commands about cleaning your room and being places on time and that sort of thing. That's not what this is talking about. What this is saying is you'll get into heaven if you obey the gospel that your parents believe in. If you follow their example in trusting in Jesus, if you obey them in that way, that gospel is what gets you into heaven, trusting in Christ alone to take care of your sin. And in fact, the only reason we even have a way into heaven is because of a son obeying his father. It's the most significant application of the fourth commandment in all of human history. Jesus went to the cross in obedience to his father as an obedient son. And the thing we forget about sometimes is Jesus didn't want to do that. This is what it says in Matthew 26, verse 39. It says, "And going a little farther, Jesus fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'My Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me.'" So when he says the cup there, he's talking about the cup of his crucifixion and death. And he prays to God and he says, "Is there any other way to do this? Because I don't want to have to go through what it is that I'm about to go through." But that's not all Jesus says here. He says, "My Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." So even when Jesus so badly wanted to avoid what was coming his way, he still submitted to his Father. He still obeyed his Father. He became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And that's the gospel, right? So our world thinks they can find freedom from casting off authority to parents, but it's just the opposite. True freedom is found in submitting to the authorities that God has placed over us. And the greatest freedom comes from submitting to the gospel.